one. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Amen. So in your bulletin, there's a penny. Jeff was reminding me this morning of the times when we used to get a mailing, junk mail. Had a penny in the mail. But there's a lot that you could do with a penny, or at least you used to be able to do with a penny. I've actually heard stories of people being able to take the bus for a couple of cents. Or there was an arcade that had games, and you can play different games for a penny. There was even a time when people used to use a penny as a fashion statement and put it in their shoes. Oh, you remember that. In my time, there were candy stores, and you could take even a penny to buy candy from. Now it's like a quarter, I think. Today, though, this penny is practically useless, at least in the eyes of many. Some are even trying to push legislation to get rid of the penny altogether. You're like, why do we even need it anymore? But what would happen if we looked at this penny a little differently? What would happen if we took our pennies and pulled it together? If you don't have a penny, you've got a penny in your bulletin. What would happen if just the few of us who are here just took all of our pennies and pulled it together? Where one penny could not do much of anything, together we would have enough to buy a hungry person some fruit, or a cold person a pair of socks, or maybe a first grader. I'm thinking Asher might be going to first grade.
Kindergarten?
A notebook, some pencils, could do all of that with just the pennies that we have here. In fact, when we are willing to work together, a few pennies might be a catalyst to get something started. That's what happened with the money that the fellowship committee raised, wasn't it? It started with just a couple of pennies, and it grew to nickels and dimes and quarters, and I even saw some $20 bills. Where we could have gotten stuck at the insignificant value of a penny. Sometimes all it takes is for us to be able to see a bigger picture in order to make things happen. When the people in Jesus' hometown looked at him, they weren't able to see the bigger picture. They could not see what God was doing in their midst. All they saw was Mary's son. They heard the wisdom coming from his lips. They knew of some of the wonders that he had done in other places, but they could not see past what they had always known about Jesus. Psychologists have a fancy term for this. They call it cognitive dissonance. It's the mental discomfort that occurs when a person is confronted with new information that contradicts their belief in ideals and values. The people could not see Jesus beyond the identity that they had always ascribed to him. He is a carpenter. No matter what he said, no matter what he did, the mental discomfort within them was enough to prevent them from having any faith in him at all. It's amazing. I think this is the only place in the Bible where it says that he could not do any deeds of miracles. But imagine if they could see. They would have recognized that Jesus was so much more than a carpenter. He was a teacher and prophet, the beloved Son of God, whom God had sent to save them. They would have realized that Jesus was offering them more than just wise words. He was offering them hope and light and a way of living into the kingdom of God right there and then, rather than waiting for the by and by. They would have understood that Jesus was worthy of their honor, worthy of their praise, worthy of their gratitude. For there would be so much to give thanks to him. If they were able to see Jesus, not just Jesus the carpenter, but Jesus the Son of God, they would have seen a much bigger picture than the one they imagined they did. My brothers and sisters, God is calling all of us to see a bigger picture than the one in front of us. One that stretches our understanding, one that enlarges our faith, a big picture that sees the expansive width of God's love and compassion for all of humanity, in which God would send his Son to die for all of us, that we might be forgiven and set free from the guilt and shame and self-loathing and hate and fear can bind and control us and can ruin and rule our lives. We would see a big picture in which those that grasp this free gift of God, from this gift of grace, might respond by seeking to serve God and the church and humanity with heartfelt thanksgiving. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he was the one who shared the message of God's kingdom and ministered to the people. But over time, he sent his disciples to do what he had done, to share the message, to heal the sick, to be with those who were in need. What started with one person grew to many. They learned in that process how to trust God. Don't take anything with you, Jesus said. Just go with the sandals on your feet and rely upon what they offer to you. They learned how to trust God and to rely upon God to give them what they needed in the moment. I also love the fact that he also sent the disciples out two by two. They didn't go it alone. Sometimes it's easy to feel insignificant in the face of the challenges around us. Sometimes we might also feel insignificant in the face of some of the things that we're dreaming about doing in the church. But God does not call us to be islands unto ourselves. You and I are called to be a part of a whole, a part of a whole body of Christ. Therefore, while you are one person, while I am one person, collectively, God uses all of us and our gifts to build up the body of Christ and bless the kingdom of God. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 and through 6, we hear these words, and I quote, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone." Unquote. Therefore, the gifts that are needed are provided by God and activated in different people among us. So the question isn't, are the gifts or talents here? The real question to struggle with is, who has them? I'll tell you a true story. In my former church, we were a small little church in a big building, and we never had enough money for anything. And so when our minister of music left, we couldn't afford to pay for a new person. We searched high and low, and everyone we kept finding would ask for more money than we could afford. But it turned out one of the members in the church taught music at a school in Manhattan. He's blind, and he worked at the school for the blind, and so we knew this, and we went to him, and we said, "John, would you like to be our minister of music?" And John says, "Oh, no, 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 no." He says, "I don't really know a lot of church music." We said, "Well, would you be willing to at least do it until we find someone?" And he said, "Okay, fine, I'll do that." And so John gave us a list. Just the week before he was supposed to play, he gave us a list, and it had 15 hymns on it that he knew. And some of the people in the consistory were like, "Oh, what are we supposed to do with 15 hymns? We're going to sing the same thing over and over and over again." I said, "Don't worry about it. I love it. A little was better than nothing." Well, John played. And the interesting thing about it was, John went from 15 hymns to 45 hymns, to playing contemporary music, and gospel music, and taze music, and all kinds of other kinds of music, because we found out, which none of us knew at the time, that John is an incredible jazz musician and can play just about anything by ear. The church was so blessed. We could not have imagined what God would do in our midst. And we were so blessed because John was willing to share of his gifts with us. Now, in our church, we have a wonderful minister of music in June. But the question still remains, what other gifts are here? What other gifts are here? And who has them? So that our worship, our witness, our service to God might grow. We, you and I, are not here by accident. In true Reformed style, we believe that we are here because of God. By God's will and God's grace, who continues to work in and through us. God has brought us here for a bigger picture than we can imagine. The challenge before each one of us is, are we open to what God is doing, and are we willing to be used by Christ for his purpose and his glory? And we accept the invitation, my brothers and sisters, to truly be partners in Christ's service. And may we work together so that all will come to see the bigger picture, God's picture, of who we are in Him and who we are meant to be in the world. That all will hear and know that truly they are welcomed and wanted and loved.